think a good designer is a designer who asks a lot of questions to understand the client and their business so they can properly represent the brand and the business.
Current and new listeners of Pod4 Creative, we are back with another episode, episode 4. I am Shona, and I'm joined by Sean.
Howdy.
And Anne-Marie.
Hi, guys.
This time we are discussing what is a designer's superpower and exploring the idea of what is the value of a designer. Let's get started. I'm curious what you guys think. Like, why do you think clients go cheap when they first start their business, when they start investing money into outsourcing different things? They always seem to have a cheap budget for design. So what are your opinions on why clients go cheap?
I think for the most part, it is just undervaluing marketing in a broader sense. Like, I think if you look at all the fields of, I guess, building a business, a lot of people don't properly consider their marketing. They consider, like, I think a lot of people want to believe that their service alone can sell their entire business. They put a lot of value in like what they do and how like what like their service is special without considering how to present that. And that ultimately is what design is, presenting what you do in a business to people to get them to come into your store.
I think maybe they prioritize the sale element of it and how they're gonna sell their products, or like the process of selling their products more than the look of their business, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not their priority at the moment. Maybe they want to sell first and save money, and then they could, I guess, rebrand at the end, which is kind of like a, how do you say it, the reverse way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because your brand helps you sell your product and create like trust to your target market.
Yeah.
And it just shows how professional you are, in my opinion, if you have like a good branding.
Yeah. Design is sort of meant to be the bridge between your clients and what you do. It's meant to be the thing that kind of helps people understand it and can helps people know what you're doing.
I have an interesting analogy. Well, I think it's an interesting analogy.
What is it?
So, you know how people dress, right? People dress up.
Yeah.
Design is kind of like that. Like, you always have impressions of someone on based on how they dress and how they present themselves. And usually the fashion you choose shows what kind of person you are. It's also subtle. Like, we always subconsciously have an impression of someone or like an idea of what they could be like just how they dress, but how they behave as well.
Yeah.
And that's almost like their own brand. You're looking at it from the outside like that. And that's like for us to design that, like designers design that storefront. But you have to like, nobody knows until they see it and have an impression.
Yeah. Designers are essentially first impression artists.
And that's really important. Like, when you first start a business, I noticed that most people go cheap because they don't see the value in it. They just want to start. And of course, they might not see the value in it because they might be having sales through their families and friends. But the thing about family and friends is they already know the person or the business.
Yeah.
And that's the same with, you know how sometimes you dress in comfy clothes in front of your friends and family, but they don't mind. They know you as a person. But if someone else saw you, they might think that, you know, the stigma of being lazy or being like, what do you call it? Unprofessional or just like, you don't care about your life. Because that is a stigma if you wear comfy clothes, even outside of your home. So I think it's similar in terms of like when you're presenting yourself and you make a home brand and a home like design, and it may not look presentable as a business. Your family and friends know your products, so they'll buy from you. But if you're trying to attract someone
like
outside of that circle, it's really hard because they don't know you. They see it and they're like, it looks sort of dodgy or looks a bit like off. You know, it looks obviously homemade and home. There's no like credibility to it because now the standard is so high in terms of brands and looks. Famous brands have already established that. Trying to keep it in simple terms of like clothing, because we're always looking at people and what they wear and how they present themselves.
Yeah.
And we've been trained as well to present ourselves. You know, obviously you wear professional looking clothes when you go to a job interview, because you want to present yourself the best way. You're in a fashion every. You've seen people who dress like they might put themselves like really bold and like really daring.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, wow, they must be really creative. They must be
interesting.
Yeah, they really want to stand
special,
out. There's
yeah.
an intention behind that. Same with people who might dress casually. You know, they might be more reserved. Some people more reserved, so they dress in a certain fashion. It's kind of like their personal brand. And I think of like us designing a business, like we're designing the clothes,
the business
is like the clothes, the attitude, how you're meant to walk out there. I think it's similar. It's the like style and the attitude behind it. And in a way, if you bring that mentality into your business, like how do I want to showcase myself and attract people that's outside of my family and my friend circle, because they don't know you. You kind of have to, like, how will they get to know you if you don't have something to already show?
Yeah, especially there's so many business, it's so hard to stand out. That's why you kind of have to make sure that your branding is actually different than the rest. That makes sense.
Okay, so I've got questions for you guys.
Yeah.
How do they make sure that their branding is different from the rest? What do they need to think about?
I'd say their target market is pretty important.
Yeah.
It's like how you target your market, like how, like offline, digital, and who are they, and how you talk, and like how your brand sounds like.
Yeah, I would argue the three main things are target audience, tone of voice, and unique selling point.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to sell yourself. It's so hard to stand out nowadays, but you still have to try, and there's so many ways to target your target audience nowadays, especially with like Facebook marketing, Facebook ads, that could help, but like
that helps with reach, but often it's hard to make engagement with that.
Yeah, but if you're, let's say, in retail you could use Facebook Pixel to like track your target market. Sometimes they visit your website, right? And if you have Facebook Pixel in your website and then they go back to their Facebook, the ad will show in their Facebook feed because they've already been to your website.
Yeah.
So that's like...
Facebook tracks your, I guess, your cookies or your
and
your
also
steps.
They can, if you create a target audience in Facebook ads, you can write down where they live, their interests, their workplace, their job, so you can target them.
Before you do all that, a good idea or good exercise is creating a persona. What's your experience with that, Sean?
Oh, I love personas, they're so good.
Sean loves making characters as well, so it's a good...
Yeah, what I think is really important in regards to having a persona is not just understanding their demographic. I think a lot of people will go through and they'll be like, oh, my target audience is women between 20 and 45. You know, they'll set out like the raw demographic information. But the thing that people don't properly consider is motivations. So motivations are very important when you are trying to like market yourself and kind of target people better, because your target audience is going to be motivated by something. They're going to have priorities. They're going to have things they really want to do. They're going to have things they don't like doing. And the more you understand about what your target audience is thinking, the better you can kind of direct them and help them. Like, if they hate phone calls, then, you know, you probably shouldn't be leaning on phone calls in the way that you communicate.
Yeah, like, it's really good to put yourself in their shoes. And if you find someone as well who's very, like, similar to your target audience, you know, ask them questions. I mean, I guess there's a limit to how creepy you can get, but, you know, like, because you kind of want to know, where do they hang out at? You want to try and go to, like, places where, like, for example, they might go to the beach often, or they might go to regular community events. So, like, what kind of community events? And you might try and engage in those as a business to try and get more connected with them, that kind of audience or that persona that you created.
Yeah. It's important to also understand who they look to as an authority. So some people will go to networking events and ask for suggestions on like who should I get X service from. Sometimes they'll go to Facebook, they'll look at their Facebook feed. Even in that, that's another motivator. That's like how they decide to purchase something. Do they look at reviews? Do they look at testimonials?
Ooh, and your social media. That's why it's also important to know how they talk. So that they
language.
Can, yeah, so that they can relate to you when you like post stuff on social media.
Yeah,
or just
knowing what they're
on your website, yeah.
Knowing the age group is really important too.
Yeah, you don't want to sound like a boomer when you're targeting millennials, you know?
Yeah. Unless you're a bank and you want to set up yourself as an authority. It's considering what your business is. Like, again, sometimes it's good to be kind of on the same level as your audience, but sometimes it's better to act as an authority to them. So it's always considering like where your business needs to be positioned for your audience. Like, what are they expecting?
Yeah. So try out storyboarding your persona. What do they do? What's their day-to-day life? That's
their
a good
interest,
way.
Their interests.
Their interests. Like, map them out as if they were a character or person.
A D&D
character. It is a bit of role play and immersiveness, but you get to know the audience and verify that, you know, do surveys, get to know people who are similar to your persona and, you know, ask them questions or be strategic, like not asking them a creepy question, obviously. Maybe be upfront about it's like, oh, it's for my business.
Yeah.
I want to get to know my ideal target market and I just want to get to know you as a person because you're quite close to my ideal customer. I want to get to know what they're like and this will help me.
Yeah,
so just being upfront and honest and doing surveys and mapping it out. So why pay for a proper graphic designer? So there are many designers out there, like clients, there's a lot of options, like it's really competitive. Many clients tend to go for like a family friend who supposedly draws or is an artist but not really a designer, which I hate that they think that they're the same thing. There's that option that some clients go for. There's Fiverr and Upwork, there's Canva, but what are your opinions? Like, why do you think clients should pay for a proper graphic designer? Often they would go the cheap route, like we mentioned before, their budget is usually low. Paying for designers can be expensive. What are the benefits? Why do you think they should go for a proper designer?
I mean, I think specifically going for a local business allows you a lot more freedom in how you communicate with them. I mean, it's a lot harder to specifically comparing it to like Fiverr and like 99 Designs. You can't really communicate with them, not nearly as easily as like a local designer. You can have a meeting with a designer, you can show them like a lot more concepts. A lot of these online designers will kind of stonewall you in a lot of areas. They'll have very specific rules around like what they can and can't do. They ultimately don't really negotiate. They'll negotiate prices, they won't really negotiate what they do.
Also, you know, connection. Yeah, you can have connection with like a family member, but also the experience and knowledge that designers have in terms of design and creativity. And with like Fiverr and all that, it is hard to like communicate with them. Like if you need some help, you can't really call them.
Yeah, they're like sometimes Fiverr and Upwork connects designers all over the world.
Yeah,
with different currencies, which is why sometimes the price varies because of currency wise. And the thing was, they're in different time zones as well.
Yeah.
You don't know. It's also like a cultural difference too.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have a designer from like Scotland or something, or like
it's
what,
gonna be
India designing for your target market in Perth, like how are they supposed to know what Perth target market is like?
Yeah, like personal experience is kind of lost there, or like the personal experience doesn't really connect in the same way with like your
something
personal
like
experience.
Country. Yeah,
what a casual, if you're talking about like a teenager, like what that looks like from country to country is very different, like what their lifestyle look like. So even if you were like, oh yeah, I want to target Australian teens, like those people overseas only have their point of reference for what a teenager looks like. Teenagers in different countries is just completely different.
And do you want to really trust like a rando from somewhere else with your business?
So I was kind of wondering, what are the attributes and traits of a good designer?
Yeah, I think it comes down to knowledge. Knowledge is kind of the consistent thing, and I think that comes into two categories. So obviously it's technical knowledge. So there's a world of difference between somebody who sort of can do like your Wix website versus a web designer who completely understands design layout, layout theories like Z layouts and F layouts, responsive design, kind of how to move and shift things around. There is a world of technical difference there, but there's also, I feel, experience difference. I think a good designer has a lot of experiences to pull from. So when you say something, I want something that's lively, a good designer will have 10, 15 different ideas of what lively looks like. They have a lot of experience to pull from to be able to be like, okay, it could be lively like this, it could be lively like that, and it's able to like show that to a client. I think a bad designer will only have one or two ideas. They'll be very kind of narrow in their viewpoint on like what certain emotions or feelings are.
What do you think, Henry?
I think a good designer is a designer who asks a lot of questions to understand the client and their business. So they can properly represent the brand and the business and to communicate to their target market. So yeah, to a designer who asks a lot of questions.
Yeah, I suppose a good designer is a good communicator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're visually communicating the brand to the business's customer.
Yeah, but also who knows how to set up files for print, for different uses, like print
and
digital differences. Oh my gosh.
But you can always learn that. But like, I think personality is a big thing. There's like the designer who thinks about the work in terms of their portfolio, but there's also the designer who thinks about the client. The minute you put things in the perspective of the client, that you're there to help them, the story changes for the project. That's what I believe.
If you're thinking about it in the perspective as you're doing this project for the client, not for yourself, your ego doesn't come in. You start to think of what's best for the client. And I think a good designer thinks about what's best for the client, for the user in the end.
Looks out for the client.
Yeah, they care. That's the most important thing about any person who works, is they care about the project.
And giving them different files, not just JPEG and PNG.
Because they consider the future as well. That's when you give them like the things they need and you consider the future, not just the present of what they need, what they may need later.
Yeah.
That's a designer who considers, who looks out for their clients. And I think that's really where good designers are, is when they're thinking what's best. They're working together with the client.
Collaborating.
And like informing them well, not just keeping it a secret. That's the thing sometimes with Fiverr, is you don't really know. You might get a bad experience with a designer because it's like, oh, it's a secret. You don't know. You're meant expected to trust them, which is why I think that's maybe why some clients are very skeptical of designers, because they have some experience in the past that is like, I don't know if I can trust this designer. And I feel like the gap is some kind of trust.
Yeah.
If they don't, there are good designers out there and there's not so good designers out there.
Oh my gosh. Yes, the one who only gives you JPEG and PNG. Let me guess, stop saying it. Please, give your clients like
proper files.
Yeah. If you're a designer and you're like, oh, I have to export it one more time, like, that might be a bit excessive, you know? Like, it's only one more time, guys. Come on.
Yeah, sometimes, like, it's important, obviously, to have self-respect.
Yeah, you can just educate them sometimes.
It is, But, yeah, like, even when you recommend advice to them,
yeah,
you do think about what's best when you think about what's best for the client, you think about what their target audience wants, and you refer to the research you've done for their target audience, which
research.
Is why rationalizing your work is really important to the client when you present your work. That gives reasoning behind
your choices
as a designer,
and
clients
are not
going to know
upfront.
They're
it's hard
see.
For them to like argue with you if you have your research in front of them and why you did it. Yeah, it's like with your design knowledge, you can rationalize your design.
Yeah.
And let them know why you designed it that way.
Yeah, when it comes to design knowledge, that like we talked about design expertise, you think back to elements and principles of design. There's like the simple things of negative space. Well, I say simple because we've been doing it for a long time. But there's the negative space, there's like sizing and scale, there's color and typography, and all those little choices. It's what makes the bigger picture. I don't think everyone can just make a film, for example. Like, there's so many little things that make the bigger picture, and design is like a similar process. There's all these different things that make the bigger picture, like or the target market or the like consideration for the marketing plan to making a brand that represents your business but also speaks to your audience. What elements and principles add up to that identity, like color scheme and typography choices, like even the symbolism, like in terms of like say your logo, for example. There's so many different types of logos out there, and like even just down to the point of what do you want your logo to represent? All those little things, choices that your designer makes, and it adds up to back to like the plan that you have for your business and your brand to, you know, create the clothes of your brand or your business, almost the impression. So that's why designers have an important job to showcase the storefront of your business. They're choosing all these little choices that all add up to the final piece. At least for us, we work together with clients to get to that point. It's a collaborative journey together. You know, in the end, the target market sees it, but you and the client have a special relationship because you work together. Sometimes when you work together on a project, you both are in the know and in the experience that you've done it together. There's some kind of special memory
and connection,
journey
and
connection.
Respect and trust now.
That only you both have. And unless you've done like a behind the scenes documentary, nobody else knows except you and the client. And that's special. I think good designers work, like see the future for the clients and help them out, but also work together with them and build that relationship. A good designer can also build relationships and communicate and inform the client. When I first started uni and ECU, a guy, my lecturer, Chris Kue, told me, design isn't about pretty things. And I was like, what am I going into this course for? What about pretty things? But they taught us so much more. They were telling us about how design is, it's an entire strategy behind design. And I feel like that's where things are going to shift in the future if we want design to be more of a valuable profession that people will actually be like, I would actually pay a lot of money for designing because there's actually a lot more to it than
creating pretty
things, quote unquote.
It's gonna for high quality designers, even some of the best ones you see in like Perth, they don't market themselves as just doing your deliverables, right? They're figuring out your brand strategy. They're not designing your logo, they're designing your brand. That involves a lot more thinking and a lot more understanding of everything. It also requires a fair bit more research.
A good resource we all like to study is the future. Without the E. It'll be in the podcast notes. They really delve into the value of a designer. Their whole YouTube channel could actually be summarized as the value of designer.
The YouTube channel is effectively like an education platform showing like, I guess, how high value design should ultimately be operated. Yeah. It's a good resource, like, I don't think it's as good of a resource for people who are running a business who are looking to, I guess, learn about design. I think it's more for designers to learn to get better at design.
Yeah, and actually that's a good thing. As a designer, often as designers, like, I know it's already competitive,
mm-hmm.
but what we should be doing is helping other designers, because bad designers is what makes a bad name for the rest of the designers. Like, if a client has a bad experience from a designer, they'll think they'll have the same experience with another designer, even though that might not be the case. They subconsciously already is skeptical. And I think by sharing your process more, being really open, and even just sharing what you do and how you do it, being really kind to other designers as well, helping them to learn and be better educated, then they can also be better educated and educate clients as well. And I think transparency is really important if we want to help improve the reputation of designers, because right now a lot of designers are struggling to validate their prices to clients, because clients don't have the budget, quote-unquote budget, which they could actually invest more. They don't see the value in designers enough to have a proper budget for them. And so designers are struggling to validate their prices, to feel like what they're doing is valuable enough, because it's really hard for designers to validate their price, because clients don't invest enough money. But then it's like a double-edged sword. It's
because,
like,
they don't know the value of design.
They don't know the value. Sometimes that impacts many designers' confidence in a way. Like, they don't feel confident because, oh, you know, what I do is not valuable to someone else. And sometimes that reflection comes back to you as a designer. It's like, is what I provide valuable to them?
Yeah.
Like, I hear from so many designers that design is valuable. But, like, you start to wonder if other designers have an ego, or if they actually do have value, like, because you don't have that much confidence in yourself.
You know what's ironic about what you said?
What?
Like, in regards to designers are concerned about, like, how they're communicating with their clients, like, getting ultimately the value of what they do across. Ironically, that's what design in itself is meant to resolve.
True.
Design studios need to have good design in themselves, otherwise they're not going to be able to communicate the value of what they do to the clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
Like self-confidence? Are you talking about self-confidence?
Well, self-confidence, again, you have to wear the right clothes to the people who think you're confident.
Well, I see. Your experience.
Knowing
what you do as well. And I think it helps. Like, it helped me when we had good clients, and for them to see the value in what we do, they gave me confidence.
Mm.
And obviously we've had a fair share of not so great clients, but we haven't felt butthurt about it, about losing them or about them walking away, because we know we started to understand our value and what we're able to offer.
Mm.
And when you calculate, like, the work that goes behind it, you do think, oh, you know, there is a lot of work that goes behind the project.
And also what they're getting.
They're getting long-term.
Yeah, long-term.
Deliverables that are reusable, basically, and have long life.
Mm.
A long life. So what they're getting is valuable. I did talk about before how designers can educate people or educate other designers better. But I think in terms of educating clients better, like mentioned before, being honest and open with them is important, and sharing your process, even parts of it, showcases that it reassures them that you've been doing work to get to the point, to get to the phase, and it's part of the journey and milestones to the project.
Yeah.
Drawing up the wireframes, for example, and you've done, like, the research behind it to choose why they're there in certain positions, for example. You know, all those journeys and steps, I think that will help validate the value of a designer, because you're essentially involving the client in the project more, and they're able to see your process. They're able to see all the work that goes behind making a design that we want to show and tell and, like, let the client know what they're getting, like by showing them that,
yeah.
I think that helps to validate and show your value as a designer.
Yeah, I think instead of honesty, I don't think confidence is, if you ask me what the most important thing for a designer to communicate, I think it is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You want clients to be able to invest in you, but you want clients to be able to say, hey, I have this amount of money, I actually going to put more money than I anticipated into getting this design work. But clients have concerns. Like all clients will have their own worries and fears. So it's very important that us as designers are able to kind of alleviate them of those kinds of concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think confidence is the easiest way to do it. You have to show that what you are 100% on board, like what you are doing is the right decision. And you have to be able to be confident in that too. If you're nervous or you're indecisive or you're like, I'm not sure if this is the direction I'm going to go, clients are going to feel nervous about you. They're going to feel like they paid a decent amount of money for somebody who isn't confident. And, you know, it's going to make them think the design isn't worth it. So,
okay. Quick question
before
we start wrapping is how can designers be more confident? It's easy to say, just be more confident. But what are some techniques or what are some ways you've become confident as a designer?
Well, I think one of the, I guess, surface level ones is, like you've been mentioning, wearing the right clothes. And you can both make that as a metaphorical point or an actual literal point of dressing confidently.
Mm-hmm.
But like, again, it all goes back to your branding. If the way you communicate with clients sounds nervous, sounds shaky, doesn't sound like you have a good grasp of what's going on, clients are going to feel that. They're going to think to themselves, oh, I don't know, like I spent like $2,000 on this website and they're not confident.
Because many designers who start out won't feel confident.
I feel like for me, having a great support, like other designers to support, like you guys, and like, you know, someone believing in you and your skills definitely helps. And just having that support in what you do and your skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for me, I like to say experience never lies. It always backs you up. I get a lot of confidence from my own experience. Even if you like go out and volunteer or did something, I don't know, design for free, but there is plenty of better ways to design for free. There's like a lot of charities out there to get experience. And experience is like, it always backs you up because you've gone through a journey before and you know what it's like. That answers a lot of uncertainties you have about certain problems you might encounter. And you're like, okay, I've encountered that problem before. You would subconsciously know ways to solve that problem because you've encountered that problem in different ways. And I think the experience never lies. That's why as you get more experience, you tend to become more confident.
Yeah.
And I understand why new designers might feel not so confident and why experienced designers obviously feel more confident and validated in their skills because they have, the experience never lies. It always backs them up and you know what you've experienced. You know the journey and you've gone through the bad and the good clients to know what it's like working with them and what problems you're going to encounter. Get advice, get a mentor as well, like to help guide you through and support.
Yeah.
They can help teach you the value as you like work as a designer and do work as a designer and experience work, you start to understand the value more and more.
Yeah, it goes back to what Anne-Marie was mentioning about like having a strong support network.
Yeah.
A mentor is kind of a very good way of just having somebody extra.
Yeah. So if you want to find good mentors, try AGDA, A-G-D-A. We'll put it in the episode notes.
Yeah.
And TDK is great. If you're in Perth, the Design Kids, TDK stands for the Design Kids. We'll put that also in the episode notes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to our episode today, where we explore the value of a designer and the value of a good brand as well. We hope you enjoyed listening today. Adios from all of us.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next episode.